Hello, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good.
Hello and welcome to the SC Ballers podcast. I am your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. As per usual, Supercoach Teamless Tuesday brings more headaches than answers, and we are right in the thick of it for round 15, the second major buy round of your NRL Supercoach season. We are fresh off our first ever watch-along, and wasn't it a beauty? We had a lot of fun there with Aman Talks NRL Supercoach on Thursday night, and joining me tonight is the star of the Supercoach Ballers watch-along, Tubes. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Matt, I've recovered from the Lehigh trauma. There's been a few pizzas over the weekend that have just got me through.
Three biscuit weekend?
It was way more than a three biscuit weekend. Thankfully, I've had my therapy session on the Sunday snap last night with Jono, so I'm ready to move on from the past and look forward to the future. But just as a quick dump for those that missed the snap, I had like an 1190. I've dropped another 5,000 spots. I'm outside the top 20K and I'm officially a draft and head-to-head player for the rest of the season, but happy to give my opinions for you boys.
Didn't producer Gramsy give it to you on the tweet this morning? Lowly Tubes, I think it said.
Yeah. Producer Gramsy doesn't put his own scores up each and every week. But certainly, compared to the U2 and C-Mac and Jono, four top 1,000 entries must be, I feel like I'm letting the team down. Like, we must be the best podcast content ranks going around apart from me.
Yeah, well, I like it, Tubes. You're doing your bit for content, and that's what we always say. You're our content guy. And you did reference the other man who's doing well, and it's our second guest tonight, former third place overall finisher, Danny Boy Ricks. Danny Boy, congratulations. You had a big round. You're back into the top 1K, which is very nice.
Yeah, pleasing round, 1440, back into the 700s somewhere. So, yeah, very, very happy with that. I'm just burning through trades, though. Like, I'm very, very worried back end of this buy period. Got to make a few more this week. Brought in big KL Iro on the weekend for his 40 that actually dropped out. So I've done that two times in a row over this buy period. First Alamotti, then Iro. But somehow still squeezing out some good scores. So, yeah, looking to still push hard, try to get right up there and then just hang on for dear life at the back end with probably very few trades.
Well, the good news on that front is you are probably going to get to your end team quicker than you usually would. So hopefully if you can avoid some injury carnage, it'll probably give you a little bit less flex for making some nice moves around fixture runs and whatnot. But, yeah, I think it's a bit more viable this year. Yeah, I had a 1380, thanks to that beautiful little Tommy Starling update. They gave him that try assist off.
No, they didn't.
No, oh, what happened just, then? How did he get so many points?
He made about 20 more tackles. So the boy's doing the scoring. Someone must have been on holiday or something. There was a rookie on there. But, struggled for that game and big updates,
I've never seen so much social media outrage over the scoring of Supercoach than what I saw on the weekend. There was the Gutho non-line break and the Cleary line break assist, and it was a bit mental, all the scoring on the weekend. But
I don't know if you've done much winter Canberra, but feels like temperatures of -3. The buttons can get stuck. Like, they just can't record them down there. Like, it was absolutely freezing. The only man that doesn't feel it was Big Papa Lee. Got a bit of a tear to my eye during that game, watching him knock it over.
I'm fuming. I didn't back him last try scorer. Fuming. Anyway, let's get into the show, boys. And Baller.live, well, wasn't it a big weekend for Baller.live? We launched projections, proprietary projections on site. A lot of great feedback about that. Traffic to the site spiked. So if you're not there, you are missing out. We have more features dropping this week, at the end of this week. So I'm really, really excited for those. We're going to see more. We had the watch along. We just got a ton of stuff happening at Baller.live. So get along there. Check out the projections, check out the live scoring. We have now a sign-up feature as well, which we're going to hear more about in the coming weeks. Everything is going to remain free, but we are going to put some stuff behind a sign-up very shortly. So it's all there and available now, and make sure you get along and check it out. good stuff happening at Baller Towers. Very happy with it. The other thing there, Danny Boy, is we got the league closing this week. So what can you? What can you're in there? I presume. I haven't checked.
I think so. I don't know if I can win the cash, the $3,000 for the top spot. And how
don't
many?
Don't worry, you're not gonna trouble the scorers, Danny Boy.
Jeez.
Yeah, $3,000 for the winner, and then $500 for the second to fifth. So very worth your while. Please go and jump in if you're not already in there. 730-444. It closes this round. Now, we don't know when it closes, but we're just getting there before Thursday night, before your first kick game kicks off, and you'll have no problems whatsoever. We're nearly up to 2,000 people in that league, and there is going to be more to come. We're going to start another league very soon. You're going to have to be a baller to be eligible, so make sure you get along, join the league, and check out baller.live. You can also obviously check us out on X, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. We are at SC Ballers on all of those, by YouTube at sc.ballers. And our YouTube popularity is spiking, Tubes, would you believe? No, in no short part, thanks to yourself and the watch along.
Yeah, the watch along, it was getting huge views. So I can imagine YouTube's pumping up. I'm just as you were talking about that league code, it made me start thinking I might have to make a second league at some point, and just for myself to be able to have any chance for the back end, and just like restart it. So
stay tuned, Tubes, because you're going to be in luck. There is going to be a new league starting. I can't reveal details just yet, but that is coming. So that suits you down to a T.
There's plenty of others.
Big shout out too in the league. We got coach of Jetspeed, Nathan, is now top. He's fifth overall after a 13-17 on the weekend. And big shout out to our favorite baller, one of our favorite ballers, Romain, coach of the main event, aka the Romain event. He had a 14-93, which has seen him back up into seventh overall and second in our league. So huge weekend for a few ballers out there. Top score in the ball league for the round was 15-94. John, coach of T-Reds, wow. Rouse. Massive score. Saw him jump up nearly 6,000 places into the top 4K. So well done, T-Reds, Rouse, John. Massive score.
Lane Miller, veers to the right, inside.
Oh!
Bateman!
Wow.
Yes! Yes! Canberra!
All right, fellas, let's get into the baller blueprint for the week. And this week's baller blueprint is focused around trading out Origin guns. So there are some massive, massive names who are playing Origin this week. And I think it's fair to say that the expectation is we aren't going to see everyone backing up from this Perth game. So Perth on Wednesday, and then most teams have a 3 or 4 day backup. So they've got to fly back from Perth the following day or night. And it's just going to be tough, I think. So names I'm talking about here are Nathan Cleary, Cameron Munster, Payne Haas, Tino Fasuamaleaui, and to a lesser extent, Robert Toyer. Dan, how are you approaching these guys, and are you trading any of them out, and who do you think the best guys here are to trade out?
Yeah, I've already traded Cleary out. I'm considering Munster this week. I really want to do my best to hold Tino and Payne Haas because I just think they're going to have to be their back end. They're just so... I don't want to get too volatile in my forwards, and I think they're just lock and load every week. Stay there, but this Tino sternum injury is worrying me greatly. And considering this year, a lot of guys who've been under slight injury clouds have then gone off injured or then out for a few weeks. I could see the allure of trading out Tino this week.
Yeah, Tino's an interesting one because he's got that jewel, which has obviously been very handy. Cliche of the year, the jewel is handy. And I was hoping to hold Tino all the way through. He's also got a 4 day backup, which I thought he might be more likely to play than Haas. But yeah, just on a performance perspective there, Dan, like that could really linger, that sternum injury, and affect his output and potentially even his minutes moving forward.
Could, definitely. I think we saw his lowest minutes game on the weekend there, and it's probably partially due to that injury he's picked up in game. He's had two back-to-back 50s, and we know how important he is to Queensland Origin. So he's going to churn out big minutes there. I really think he's in for a downturn over the next 4 to 5 weeks. But, you know, it's for me personally, trades are essential. So I'm just trying to hold on. I'd rather kind of flip around some of the more high ceiling positions, center wings, fullbacks, that sort of thing, and just keep a rock solid forward pack there. So probably number one trade out for me, and you've probably got to consider this, is Nathan Cleary.
Yeah, well, so Cleary has a bye. Oh, sorry, obviously he plays Origin 15. Then they've already announced he's not backing up against the Warriors in 16. Then they play the Bulldogs in 17, which you presume he'll play. The Panthers need to keep winning. Then he'll miss 18. And then they do have a very juicy run, 19 and beyond. But that's a four-week stretch, which is going to be really difficult for Cleary. His break-even is also getting up there now. He's 764K with a B of 107. He's only had 7 try assists this year, Tubes. I'm at the moment, I'm going to sell Cleary this week to Jerome Hughes in preparation for round 16. I'm sort of worried as much about 16 this week with my trades as I am with 15. How are you approaching Nathan Cleary?
I was hoping to hold him, but I think just for the amount of cash that he's holding up over these next 2 weeks, when I know there's people like Lawson and some cheapies that are becoming available, but I just think you really need to have guns that are playing at least one of the next 2 weeks. So I'm similar to Dan. I think that you need to be holding at least most people, I think, have 4 or 5 Origin players, and I think you need to be holding at least 2 or 3 of them. And so I'm thinking Munster and Cleary are the clear sells. Munster more because I think you can, if you don't get him back in and you run home with one gun 5'8", that's okay. And Cleary, just because he takes up too much cash and there's such viable strategies like Hughes and maybe some others that we'll talk about later on.
I think that's a really good point. Like, Cleary might be able to get taken on by Hughes and Hines and even Metcalf, probably not, but I think it's more of a case of you can get him out there and you don't have to get him back straight away when they come back. And Munster, like you say, we can get around a 1-5-8 strategy. So I think I'm going to sell both those guys this week. Payne Haas is the one who I could get around to sell, particularly if you're only running Haas and Terrell May as your gun front rowers. Maybe not everyone's doing that, but I've got Tarpany, and I know we can have a bit of a chat about Tarpany in the front row segment, but I feel like that if I can get Tarpany playing the weeks that Haas isn't there with Terrell May away from the major buy rounds, that just allows me to hold Haas through, and then I don't have to worry about making any trades at front row forward. So that's going to be my strategy. I would recommend that for any Tarpany or AFB owners as well. What do you think about that, Dan?
Yeah, that sounds good. I think a lot of people have that set and forget forward pack now, and I am very against overstacking the forward pack. So that's a great point about having probably max 3 front rowers on that rotation. You can definitely hold Payne Haas then. If you've only got 2, yeah, you probably want someone playing. And there's so many good options now, the likes of Aaron Clark, even Jackson Catchman. Ford to a degree, Catchman. Like, these guys can kind of do a job there now at switching between second row and front row. But, you know, I don't think you want to overstack. You don't want 3 or 4 reserves who are playable in that forward pack rotating, because I think end game most people will have at least 2 nuffs rotating through that areas. So yeah, for me, I'm keeping Payne Haas, happy to hold him through that sort of bye period if I can, and the other guys are going to do a job.
Lastly, Tubes, Robert Toyer, who's not really in the gun category. He's worked his way up to over 600K now, which has been fantastic. He's got a break even of 89. I suppose the question with him is, like, how do you put him in the context of selling versus, like, the guys like Tamale, Hopewade, Iro? Almost all of our listeners will own at least 1 or 2 of those guys. There is a chance he shows up in 16. Is that enough for you to prioritise selling those other guys before Toyer?
Yeah, so, I mean, you mentioned 2 that are definite sells ahead. So Iro and Tamale, like, just with the length that they're going to be gone for. I think I could make a case to hold Lehigh over Toyer. Lehigh will miss this week, but he will be back in round 17. Gives you a week to see how Tommy Turbo comes back, like, hopefully for his sake, he returns well. But if he doesn't for any reason, then Lehigh, they've got a nice run coming up, and if he's playing fullback, just gives you that extra week. And Toyer's not a run home player, so you're going to sell him eventually. But so in for answer your question, I'd sell Tamale and Iro over Toya, but potentially hold Lehigh for this week.
Yeah, that's a tough. I've got that decision. I've got to sell one of Lehigh or Toya. The only thing with Lehigh is if he might start to leak a bit of cash if you do hold him for 17-18 or get tempted to. You can always sell him next week though as well. Like you said, see how Turbo gets through.
Could you hold Lehigh end game?
As your maybe he's your seventh center wing.
Yeah.
Because you always have him there as insurance. If Turbo goes down at any point again, which let's face it, that's likely.
Yeah.
So he becomes a top, what, five center wing? Top four center wing?
For sure. Yeah. But I think the big thing, you know, for you personally, Matty, is probably the numbers in the crucial rounds now are round 16 and round 19. Lehigh doesn't play both of those.
Mm.
Well, yeah, you don't necessarily, you're not going to miss him round 17 because everyone's on deck. So you're going to have a really strong side out in round 17 anyway. But if it wasn't due to those buys, I would be keeping Lehigh over him. But purely because those are the big rounds coming up, I think you probably have to lean towards getting rid of Lehigh.
Mm. I have to have a good think about that one because cash isn't really an issue. All right, boys, that's very interesting discussion, Ree, the origin guys. Let's move on now to our positional analysis, starting, of course, at fullback. And it's been a big season for the fullbacks. As we know, we got Isaiah Yongi, who I think most people will be shipping on if they haven't already. He misses this week. But we got the big four all on the table. Oh, and we've got the big three playing this week, but of course Ryan Papenhuyzen as well, who almost everybody owns. I talk, of course, of Scotty Drinkwater, James Tedesco, and finally Tom Trbojevic works his way back into that Manly lineup. He's 21% owned now. No one on the early trade trends, though, very interesting, Tubes, no one is buying him. So he's only 0.7% purchased in the top 10% this week. As opposed to Scotty Drink, who is 9.5% purchased, taking his ownership back up to 59%. And James Tedesco, who's 8.5% purchased, taking his ownership to 64%. Now, if you don't own these a combo of Papenhuyzen, Teddy, Turbo, and Drinky, so if you're running anyone else in that flex or sort of a Lehigh or Yongi, do you think it's imperative that you have the combination of two of the guys playing this weekend plus Paps?
I think you forgot my man Gutho in that combo.
On purpose.
Yeah, nah. I think that you want Teddy and Drinky. They're 1-2. In terms of who I'd be trading in, I'd be trading in Teddy for sure this week. If I didn't own him and I didn't already own, say, Drinky and Turbo and Paps as my other three. So if you've got a trade there to make, Teddy has to be number one option, especially with what we said about selling Cleary and Munster. And there should be plenty of cash around to be able to get Teddy. I do think I'd probably lean Turbo as the second choice versus Drinky. But
so if you didn't, what about this scenario? You own Papenhuyzen, Tedesco already, plus like a
Yongi
or a Lehigh or something. Would you give serious consideration to going Turbo over Drinky? Because I don't think that's even a discussion. I'd be buying Drinkwater.
Just Turbo's so much cheaper. I'm not the best to talk about it. I sold Drinky last week and that didn't work out well for me. But I'm still not convinced on Drinky's role in the team. I know, and so if you were asking me what's it gonna look like this week, Turbo v Drinky, I think Turbo outscores Drinky this weekend and he's a lower price. And then if you're talking end game, of course I think Drinky's probably a better buy over the longer term, but I don't think Drinky's the third fullback that you're going to want from round 19 onwards anyway. So we're only talking a 4 to 5 week stint, and I'd be taking a risk on Turbo at the price.
I just think that it just all comes down to fixture, and Drinky doesn't miss any games and Turbo misses 16 and 19. So I just think that just really tips it in his scale. How would you be approaching those sort of decisions, Dan?
I can see Tubes' point. Like if you take a flyer on Turbo and he comes good, for sure he's back end top three fullbacks, right? And, you know, if you're well set up for that round 16 and 19, absolute flyer. There's just too much uncertainty for me around it. I think the role, the new role of Drinky is only going to get better with the new combinations. And I think a lot of the new combination has been Dearden has been so dominant. And half the time he dummies and runs, the other half he throws the ball, but it hasn't been great for Drinky. So this week, no Dearden against the Dolphins at home, huge fixture. And I think this is where you need to make the moves over round 15, round 16, round 18, round 19. So I'd probably lean to Drinky myself, but I can see Tubes' point. Turbo is definitely an end game if he becomes fit.
Tubes, a question that I was posing in the group chat today was, if Turbo goes low in his game against Manly, so let's call it sub 65, something like that, and you own Turbo but not Teddy, could you ponder a Pappenhausen to Tedesco trade with a view then to go Turbo back to Paps next week? Or is that too much juggling, too many balls in the air?
You just need to, as long as you've got the cash, I think it's potentially worth the trade. If Turbo goes low, there's no way you're holding him through the bye. Like if he looks gone, he goes low, and then you're not holding Turbo. You got to get Teddy. So I don't mind that as an option, as long as you know you're going to have the cash to get back to Paps next week. I wish you brought it up as an option earlier. Like I would have paid. I sold Drinky because I really, really wanted Teddy for this week, and I didn't actually think about paying the trade tax by doing some fullback roulette with Paps out and back in over these weeks. I think it's a strategy that you could definitely look at doing.
It's an interesting lesson, tidbit, like on trading out these fullbacks. Like you just have to be prepared that it can go wrong for you. And yeah, it's just, you kind of got to cop it when it happens. And it's you've got to take a bit of risk in this game. So I like the trade last week. Like I like that plan, Drinky to Campbell. It just didn't, obviously, you know, the scores flip there and Campbell turns up and Drinky gets a 30,
yeah,
which
flying.
I think we all thought was more of a chance of happening. And you look like a genius this week. So, it can go against you. Anything else at fullback there, Dan? Like, I feel like it's everyone's sort of just bulking up as much as they can now.
Yeah, I think that's the play. I think, you know, Teddy is pretty essential this week. Like 15, 16 going to be huge for him now. Roosters just have 18, 19. I think most people have made their bet there. So, you know, for us, we've got Turbo. We're going to be, you know, hiding behind the couch for Teddy, watching Teddy this weekend.
Oh, it'd be so good if Turbo can ton up big ton and then we can...
Yeah, and I think that's what you've got to think of is the guys that you've got, rather than switching them across, like, ask yourself, can they match the person you're bringing in this week? And if they can, just go for it. Like, you know, a huge amount of things can happen. You know, we saw it with Lehigh on the weekend. You know, he's been a gun bringing for the last three and then knocks himself out scoring a try. Like it's, that sort of stuff can happen. So for me, I'm not wasting trades now, like doing the fullback flips and that sort of thing. I'm just looking at bringing in end game guys that are going to score me big points, max points for the next buy period.
Yeah, I think this week and next week are two of the most important trade weeks of the year. So having to flip a fullback in and then a fullback out, I really want to max trade these next 2 weeks. So that's two out of five trades that I'm going to have to make just flipping fullbacks around. That, yeah, it'll help my team a little bit, but it's really just chasing points and steam. So, yeah, I probably won't look to be doing that Paps to Teddy, even if Turbo goes low. I'll probably just cop it and then go Turbo to Teddy next week, like Tube said.
So. Just a quick one, Matty. On trades or on numbers for next week, how many numbers do you want in your team prior to Origin pullouts, injuries this weekend? How many numbers do you want for the round 16 bye coming into this week?
It depends a bit now, like, because now that Sandon's dead, which we'll get to, that just makes it even harder. So I think you probably want 19 without your Origin guys. What do you think, Tubes?
No, that's too much. You don't need that many.
Right now.
I think
No, I mean, you want, so 19 even with trades.
I think it depends. We just talked about, we carried four, as I said before, people are carrying four or five Origin players right now. I think two are definitely being traded this week. So you're only carrying two or three in. So I think you could get away with having 17, 18 potentially going into next week. 18 probably would be the lowest. And then if you're holding Tino and Haas as your two Origin players, say, then you could get away with that for sure.
I reckon it's most likely that we get no backups, maybe Toya. I don't think Tino will play now. Haas, maybe. They need to keep winning, but his minutes will go
be They're reduced. Dead without Haas. Like, as in, their minute, their middle, obviously Carrigan as well. But I think it's one in all in there. If Haas backs up, Carrigan backs up as well, I would imagine.
And we could get injuries this week as well. So it's just, I'm probably going to do Cleary to Hughes just to get that one ready. And then with a view to have two more trades for 16 next week. Yeah, I think next week's going to be real banana skin for teams.
It happened in round 13, didn't it? Like, I think massive, I had 21 for round 13 coming into round 12. And then I've ended up on bang on 18 with a trade, I think, or so. So. Yeah, I think this week particularly, Origin backups are gonna wreak havoc for teams.
The as long as you got my boy Aaron Keeley, Dan, you'll be fine. Just make sure you break the bank to get him in this week.
I wish I traded him instead of Kale Iro.
Oh god!
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game.
Let's get down to center wing now, boys. And this is the most deep position of... Let's try that again. It's the deepest position of the week with a ton of trading options, a ton of downgrade options as well, which we can get to. But there's only one place to start, Tubes, and that's your boy, Jacob Kiraz. He is 768K this week, still with a break-even of 105. He is the most purchased player this week. 16.2% of teams in the top 10% have brought him in at time of recording, taking him up to 25% ownership. So well done to those who brought him in last week, like yourself. He was a pod for a week, but that is no more. Now, here's where it gets tricky. We've just chatted a lot about round 16. He does not play round 16. He is named at center this week, Tubes. The question for everyone out there, including myself, is can we wait until round 17 for Jacob Kiraz, or do we need to get him in for all that base plus power to chunk up our 13 best players this week?
I think if you don't own him already, I think you can wait the week. And the big thing there is what you said, is him being named at centre. His base and power, while still elite in the centres, is just drops away a bit, and so does his attacking upside. Compared to when he's on the wing. I mean, he's a must-have. You have to get him in at some point. He had 90 on the weekend, base plus power and one try contribution, and he was a little bit, I still think, coming back from injury. So the buy will only help. I think if you've got the cash and he's an option to look at getting this week and you feel okay about your numbers in 16, yeah, of course. But I do think that, if you're worried about your 16 numbers, like you can let him go through the keeper for this week and have him as a massive target in 17.
Yeah, I'm almost certainly going to let him go now this week. So I had him in my plans. But Dan, I think the point you made earlier is incredibly salient when we talk about in the context of Kiraz purchase this week. You just need someone this week who can match him or at least go close to matching him, who then will play 16 as an alternate target for this week. So I'm talking about guys like Jackson Purdue, Jermaine Asako, Mark Nwanganitawase, or Greg Marju, who all play around 16 as well, rather than taking that risk on Kiraz. Rather than taking Kiraz, who is by far the best asset out of those guys, but doesn't play next week and could leave yourself short.
For sure. And I think you've got to look ahead to the end game as well. So looking at how many center wings or who you want potentially to fill those six gun spots there and potentially seven if you've got the numbers. But I still think you need to leave a spot for a cheaper guy for that seventh position. But this week, yeah, it's a great matchup against Souths. He's at centre. But then you also look ahead to next week. Last game of the round, Parramatta v Gold Coast. I'm very keen on bringing Zach Blomax in next week if he's backing up. So I think that's a juicier matchup. And if Carras is going to hold a spot that allows you or doesn't allow you to bring Lomax in next week or something around that, I think you've got to consider that as an option. And as Chu said, good point, round 16 number I think is going to be vital. So I'm happy to watch him at centre this week.
Yeah, I think we're all aligned on that. I just spoke about some of those replacements. The other very popular purchase this week, Dan, is Jermaine Asako. He's 10.8% owned, 6.6% bought in. Minus six break even. Now, the Dolphins just have an incredible run that we've spoken a bit about.
Yeah, for sure. Asako is a big option this week, particularly if you're flushed with trades, because I could see him as a three-game play, then bump him up to Jacob Kiraz round 18 or someone of that who's going to play round 18, 19. You could also keep, if form's there, you could keep him for your 6 or 7 centre wing for sure. Matt, play him on matchups. You might not get him every time. He's a bit volatile in terms of who he turns up against. But yeah, certainly a great option. Might make you 100K. Can flip him to a gun to solidify your centre wing end game.
Very low risk. Tubes, a couple of pod options. Well, one of them's a pod and one of them's a semi-pod, but I know you're very keen on both of them. Mark Nwangetawase from the Roosters, he's in the centres too this week, plays all the major and minor buy rounds on the way home. Greg Marju, 7.4%, who I heard you guys have a good chat on the snap about, who you're quite keen on. Those guys are your sort of bit more poddy options away from the obvious of Carras and Asako this week, but both very good options in their own right.
Yeah, I think Marju... he's only a pod because he's been out for a while. I think he's a safer play to bring in than Asako in terms of talking about your top seven centre wings for the run home. He's a man that you can basically get in, set and forget. He's averaging 69.1 this year, and that's, I think, with is it two or three tries maximum? He just hasn't had that attacking upside so far. He's 630K. I think if you're bringing in a centre wing this week, he's the man to bring in. I know that he does have a bit of a tougher run, but I think he's pretty bulletproof, matchup proof.
Yeah, obviously, like any team, any winger, a better matchup would be better. He's got a buy in 18 and 22, which is a little tricky, but I think at that point you should have great depth anyway, particularly in your centre wing, so I don't see that as too big of an issue. The last, sort of more popular guy, Dan, and he was a popular cheapie to start the year, Jackson Purdue, who's 594K this week. Signs are looking really, really good for him at 5'8". I thought he played quite well. He's quite, got an excellent running game at 5'8 there for the Cows. He gets no Dearden this week. I'm interested in the sense that I like it if you own a cheap 5'8 like LKT. He's going to get that duel in round 18 to be able to flip him up in round 18 or 19, just pending how that LKT is going. Conversely, LKT just makes me a bit sick. But anyway, Purdue, let's stick with him for a minute.
Yeah, I think he's a good option this week. I think without Dearden as well, him and Drinkwater are going to be running the show. I see him as an endgame second 5'8", as you said. I don't think you want him around your centre wings because you're never really going to play him there. So he's a great backup for that 5'8 position. And we know he's going to get the duel in round 18. So you've got to put him in your centre wing at the moment and then you can flip him up for that round 18. Absolute flyer, absolute gun. He's only on the way up. Like, he's one of those guys that you see on potential could be a keeper for the next few years. So, yeah, I really like the a bit of a – I guess he's a pod play now. Still not,
14.4% owned. Yeah, 14.4% owned in the top 10%. We know the Cows don't miss any games either, which is, I think, the big allure for me for a Purdue. And they've got quite a good run of fixtures too. They play Dolphins, then Roosters, Titans before in the next three before then running into the Storm and the Dogs. I'm gonna give a fair bit of consideration to Purdue, particularly if I'm keeping LKT, which I think I'm going to.
Tubes, I was just looking through your team. How do you not own Marky Mark? He's the biggest tubes guy I've ever seen.
Oh,
the one that got away. There's been a few of them. I think I went Lehigh over him okay. back in round 8 or something like that. But, yeah, you throw enough darts, a few of them land. And I have to pick the right darts.
Let's talk about some downgrades in center wing, guys, because I know there are a lot of super coaches out there who want to make some cash, free up some cash to get some of these premium options that we've spoken about. And popular from last week for his second game was Nathan Lawson, who scored 19. He's 198K. He's already 41% owned now with 8.2% teams bringing him in this week. Job security is a little bit of an issue still, I think, Tubes, with Lawson. But basement bottom price, I'd still probably be... If I was making a cheapie in centre wing, I'd still probably be going there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I hadn't heard this. Gramsy mentioned it before the show that Corey Allen's back next week and or the week after the bye, and so that could be a bit of job security issues. But he's a good number this week. I'm assuming he'll play left wing. Like he's a downgrade option if you need it for cash for your other trades for this week. For sure. But I certainly don't think he's a lock and load cheapie.
No.
You're still going to get him cheap round 17 because he misses round 16. Say he breaks out with an 80 this week and makes 60K, he's still only going to be 260. He plays that last bye, plays round 18 and round 19 as well. So if for some reason he goes big this week, he's got the cash rolling, you can pick him up in round 17. So I think it's a bigger void
this week. Is it better to go? I was thinking in the context of making a few hundred K, but given that a lot of people are selling Tamale, Iro, Lehigh, Toya, like we spoke about, are you better, Dan, to look in that sort of more like high 300s to 450, 500 range for, you know, guys like Ramian or Hirodi, Bostock? There's a few guys floating around who could be your seventh center wing that you may never have to trade out.
Yeah, I'd probably pay that little bump up to get some of those guys. Like, you know, someone like Aramian, he's guaranteed. He's always going to hold that position. He can break out. He's got Dragons this week. So he's definitely got a bigger ceiling than someone like Lawson. And he's also got the floor too with his base work, particularly now with Kale Iro out. I think Ramian is a good downgrade this week to free up 200, 300 cash from some of those premium guys who have gone down.
He's cheap as chips too. Like he's just over 400K. I think as well, like I've spoken a lot about Kale Iro being a target man for them near the line because he's been so destructive. I actually think they might run a little bit more shape towards Ramian now. I don't think they want to do that as much for Hirodi, even though Hirodi has proven himself near the line. Left center is a better position than right center for the Sharks historically. I think he might see a little bit more attacking ball now, especially with the Sharks having had two such bad losses in a row. I was saying pre-pod, that's as bad as I've ever seen them play under Fitzgibbon on the weekend, and they were just as bad with the Roosters the week before the bye. So, yeah, I think you might be right there, Dan. I think just looking for security there, I don't like Hirodi as much just because I'm not as secure on him, and he still looked a bit injured on the weekend.
He did. He was limping around after... After a try, perhaps not from him, but yeah, I remember his scene, and it was that MCL leg as well. It's heavily strapped. He was limping a bit, slight concern there. I think he's probably guaranteed. We were trying to go through the team for Sharks and who they've got to come back. We know Stone Street's coming back on the wing, but they're quite short in the centers, and we know that they don't want to play Talakai. He's got such an impact through the middle off the bench. So he's probably guaranteed over this bye period at least to be a number.
Yep. Tubes, last one at center wing I want to chat about is just Dane Gagai, who has picked up the goal kicking. It looks like maybe full time with Ponga ankle injury. Who knows? I get it. 634K, I think it's, to me, that's a bit of a well done to super coaches who jumped on. Just with that tricky Knights draw, I don't see a ton of value, and I'm not going to ever feel super confident playing Gagai would be my probably go there. I'd be super confident to play him, but not super confident that I'm going to want to play him over my gun center wings or over my gun benches in other positions.
Yeah, I think, as you said, it's a well done. I think I read that Ponga was warming up doing all the goal kicking, and I think he just tweaked his ankle during the game. That was my sort of read on it. So I don't think he's assured of that goal kicking. And I just like, I know he has been a gun, but what I said yesterday I think holds true, is he's just getting a bit older and it's a long season. Like, I know they've got – and they've got two buys left, all the things that we said about Marju. So I don't think he's an option.
I'd rather Marju at the same price.
Yeah. The only one that we didn't mention just very quickly is just flipping back to – he's down to 517K now after that very cheap, very low score, and that's Connor Tracy for this weekend as well. Up against the Bunnies, I traded him out of my side, but he's back down to 4.1% owned in the top 10%. He's 517K. I think there's a world where he could be your sort of sixth, seventh centre wing if you were looking for – if he was right on that number, like if you're going down from, you know, Toya or Iro or something like that, and that was enough cash to upgrade. I don't mind Tracy as a downgrade option either.
It's just that round 16. He actually has a he's got a big ball of projection this week, Tracy, with that matchup, 75 points. So
Burton,
yeah,
out.
Burton out, Galvin in. Galvin's got a huge projection too. I can't remember off the top of my head, but Souths is a great. Souths have just been harvesting Supercoach points to opposition this year, so they're definitely a matchup to look to get around. And obviously, Dogs this week, it makes me nervous for Carraz as well. All right, let's get down to the halves now. 5'8 and half back. And Tubes, we'll start with you here because you brought him in last week. But Jaden Campbell, 658K, break even of 99. Possibly we'll have another big break even next week with that 27 in his roller. 33% owned, but still seeing a few teams bringing him in this week. I'm currently one of those. How are you feeling a week on? Would you still be considering this week? Is that game a write-off?
Yeah, for sure. I think it is for sure. I've been a long time Campbell believer. I brought him in round two at the start of the year. I think I put the captain on him from memory. He just accumulates super coach points. I'm just writing off that Broncos game. The Broncos can do that. Like, they were so up for it. Everyone across the park, not just the forwards. Katoni Staggs had his best game of the year. Walsh was right up for it, still rubbing it in their face at the end. Man, Reynolds, like, and the Broncos, they look like they did a bit earlier in the season. And the Titans just had no opportunity to sort of bounce back. I think Campbell is going to be the top 5'8 moving forward. He just gets so many touches. He's so silky when he has the ball and just accumulates points. And the Titans can score. They've just got to get better runs going on, you know, than they did on the weekend.
Yeah, we're going to get a few of these Titans games. It's just that whole joint stinks at the moment, doesn't it? Like all these Fifita leaks and Des Hasler, and it's not a conducive environment. So Campbell's going to have to push through that for owners. Dan, liking King Tongia, 287K. Getting up to nearly 40% owned in the top 10%. I'm an owner. I've owned since day dot, since his debut this season. I've got heaps of money in the bank, so I'm kind of keen to trade, but I think I'm going to resist the temptation just now with this Senator Smith news. And he's just a good number for this week, and I think then I can reassess next week.
Yeah, am I the only one that is happy with LKT's output? Like 48 on the weekends. One try contribution as a half, you know, if he can keep churning that out, I'm more than happy to hold him as that second 5'8". Even this week I was looking, like, if you load up in the center wing, if you load up with your halfback, your the amount of good forwards this week, I just feel there's no room for that second 5'8" this year, who you want to be playing consistently. So I'm very happy to hold him. If he can churn his way to 350 to 400K by the time the buy period ends, like, you're absolutely laughing. So, you know, and maybe he jags a couple of tries, a try. You know, I think he was like,
should have scored on the weekend.
On the weekend to not score, which would have bumped him up to about a 65 plus. So, yeah, I'm very happy to keep him there. I would be holding on if he can. For me, I know lots of teams are so cashed up, though. You know, I've seen some teams with over a million of what I've got. So if you're absolutely stacked, yeah, probably you can do that, keep Munster. I probably feel Munster's not backing up round 16. That's probably the only reason I'm very happy to switch him to Campbell this week. He's just not going to play the next two. Campbell has that ceiling. So, yeah, very happy to make that trade instead.
Tubes, Izzy Katoa been one of the form players of the NRL? I just can't get around him Supercoach-wise. I just think the Dolphins obviously scored 50-plus on the weekend. He's 612K now. I just can't get around him at all. He's just way too dependent on try assists. And to be fair to the kid, he gets a lot of them, but it's just not going to happen every week.
Jono's been talking about him since he was in the 400Ks.
Has he won?
Yeah, and like he's potentially like top five halfback in the NRL all of a sudden. The way he digs into the line is so good. But his game just isn't conducive to Supercoach like as much. As you said, he relies on those try assists, line break assists, attacking upside. I don't think you're bringing him in at 600K. What about my pick this week at halfback is a bit of a pod play. Dan threw him out in the group chat and I'm thinking about bringing him in, and that's Daly Cherry Evans. Bit of narrative about that selection. 450K, they play the Titans this week, and he's obviously on a redemption tour coming up. We talked about Turbo coming back for the Sea Eagles. Ollers hasn't made origin as well. Garrick down that right side. I just think that the Sea Eagles could go on a run. And Cherry for 460K, he's a big downgrade option to take on Hughes if you're downgrading from Cleary.
Especially if you need that, if you need that money as well, like that's 300K you're going to make off Cleary to Cherry. It's a bit of a round 16, round 19 risk, but it's a bit of the risk it for the biscuit, as we like to say. I don't mind that, Tubes. I think I'm going to stick with Hughes just because this is his last buy. I don't really need Cherry this week. But yeah, as a pot, like you said, as a pod play, don't mind it at all. Someone who's certainly not a pod play, Dan, is Nico Hines. Now, Nico scored, I think, 49 on the weekend or 48. Sharks were comprehensively beaten. They do have the Dragons this week, which I've seen, you know, seen some people say that now the Sharks are a good matchup for Dragons, but I can't really get around that. I think this is still a very good matchup for Nico. How, I suppose my question is around people who don't own Nico. Is he still number, and I've been asked this question directly, is he still the number one halfback target through the buys here?
I think it's very tough. I really like Jerome Hughes as a buy next week. So that's where it becomes difficult, is do you go Hines this week over Jerome Hughes next week? Well, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't want to be in that position at the moment. Nico is probably hitting his floor the last couple of weeks. Like, Sharks have been terrible, but he's still punching out 48s. Like, that's more than acceptable. And 660K, like Campbell, is a very good price for him. So their floors are at their prices are at relative floors for them. So he's still a good pickup this week. He could really hurt you if you don't have him.
Yeah, just on the ball of projections, from that round 15 to round 20 period, I've got Hughes averaging 1 point more than Nico through that period. So there's not a lot in it. And I think that's going to come down to what your team structure looks like and where you need that cover through the buys. Yeah, I really like Hines as a captain vice captain option this week, though. I think the Sharks bounce back and bounce back hard against the Dragons, but we shall see. Just a couple of guys, just one guy, Tubes, I just want to touch on very briefly now. He's been suspended, is Dylan Brown. I was pretty staunch on advocating to hold Brown as your second 5'8" last week, but I'm feeling less comfortable with that.
You're 19. Like,
yeah. Well, he should have had 320s in a row, basically, sub 30s in a row.
He's something's wrong. Something's wrong. Like, Moses coming back in, but this is just unprecedented for Dylan Brown. Like, I don't know if it's affecting his NRL form. I probably haven't watched the Eels closely enough, but from a Supercoach perspective, I think you just have to jump off. You have to. You can't keep waiting and hoping. You've got to cut ties, and you've got to get a Jaden Campbell or someone else into that position.
I think the value's gone though to trade him out, isn't it? Like low 500Ks now. Like, you definitely need a premium 5'8" there. So if you've got Munster or Campbell or something like that with Dylan Brown, I just can't see. I it's such a tough one to watch, but I probably would just hold him there and try to work my team around it elsewhere. Like, then he's not a play most weeks. You maybe put him in if you're
16-19. That's about it.
Yeah. So I'd look to lean there. Just on the halves quickly, Matty, I'm in a bit of a conundrum. Jamal Fogarty, I'm an owner. He lost the goal kicking on the weekend. If he has the goal kicking on the weekend, he gets sort of an 85-plus score. And now he doesn't have the goal kicking. Ethan Strange looked great goal kicking on the weekend. There's a possibility he keeps that goal kicking with the groin, the lingering groin injury. Would you go Jerome Hughes for Jamal Fogarty next week, or would you just ride it out?
I'd probably go to Hughes, to be honest. The other thing about Fogarty, he still has two more buys left after that as well. So I just don't think that he can match those big guns. And if there is doubt around the kicking, I mean, he's going to have a week off. Like, you tell me, it's a groin injury. How long is that going to impact his, like, who knows?
Of course, if he's the preferred kicker, he probably gets it back. But I think just Ethan Strange looked very good and very comfortable goal kicking on the weekend, so could take it off him. So
great matchup versus Tigers next week.
Very good. Next three matchup. Yeah. Plays the round 18. It's a really tough call for owners, including myself.
Yep. All the pod owners out there.
Send him off! Send the dressing gates off! Get him off the field! That was diabolical!
All right, second row forward, gents. A bit thin on the ground on second row forwards this week, but it'd be remiss not for us to start with Keon Koloa-Mtungi. Another ton, 119 points, another try. 736K, and he has missed Origin selection, crucially. He will be available for the Bunnies this week. Names to start in the 10 jersey. Tubes, how essential now is Keon for those who didn't jump on, and it's not many of us?
Well, it's me. I think I said before 13, I thought he should get picked. So he's gone triple ton basically since 11. I said before 13 that I thought he was a must bring in if there was an injury. And obviously Barnett went down. And I sort of just thought I'll pay the tax. I'll pay the tax and bring him in 16. But I did not know the tax was going to be 230 points and 150K.
So much tax.
And so I've called the ATO and I'm going on a payment plan and I'm bringing on Keon this week.
See, it's a tough Centrelink. One. You've called Centrelink.
I've called Centrelink. I've got a payment plan and I'm bringing in Keon this week. 763K, but that's just how much I think of him as a player. Like, when he gets that dual status, obviously he's already second row forward. He is probably, with this role, he's probably going to be the number one or number two outside of ECAT second row forward, so you basically must have him.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if he stays at 80 minutes, he's averaging like, what, 80 to 90 base plus power? It's just insane. Yeah.
119 on the weekend. I know he scored a try, but that's still basically 90 outside of the try or 90 plus, like, outside the try. It's just crazy.
Dan, Homoli Olakau'atu. Tubes and I were aghast on the watch along the other night as he strolled over for a try. He had a big ton as well. 644K. I would love to own Olakau'atu, as 65% of super coaches out there do. I just can't justify it now, and he's going to scare me to death for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks. But just with the missing 16-19, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, he's got a bit of attack the last few weeks. I think most people have consolidated their forward pack now, and I'd probably be looking for premiums in the centre wing and fullbacks over going an extra second rower at the moment. I don't think there's been too many injuries in second row as well compared to centre wings. So, and also you can flip up Dylan Lucas to that second row as the extra number end game as well. So I just think it's down to your numbers. If you're for some reason very light, yeah, for sure. He's a big, particularly this week. I think Manly are full strength, aren't they? Like, not affected by Origin at all.
Close enough.
So Yeah, like it's a great number for this week, but then misses 16 and 19. So, yeah, I'd probably avoid unless you're really struggling for this week.
Chips, couple of ones. You spoke about Bo Fermor last night. Now he's missed Origin. Is it, the price is right? 610K. He just needs some attack, I think. And I don't think you guys summed up well, saying probably never going to feel that comfortable playing him in your best 18. Jacob Preston is an interesting one. He's back from suspension, 720K, break even of 85. Probably just a touch expensive.
Wait, he's a easy wait for 17-1 with the bye next week. See how he comes back and look at 17-18 for him.
Dan, a couple of other pod options who are on the radar. KPP, Kai Pierce-Paul from the Knights. Another one the boys chatted about on the Snap at length. Make sure you go and check out the Sunday Snap if you have not already. And then Siwa Wong, Dan. I thought Savala was getting dropped, and that might be the antidote to Siwa's troubles on the edge there.
Yeah, unfortunately for Siwa owners, he's turned into one of the biggest dot balls going around. So I don't think you can pick him up at all. And who was the one you mentioned before that?
Pierce-Paul.
Yeah, look, it was great to see his offload. I think he's always had so much potential with that. I just feel like it's not going to come out week to week. Like, they were very heavy dominant
going
down the right-hand side there. That's not always going to happen, given they've got so much on the left-hand side, especially now Marju's back, Dylan Lucas. So he's just not going to see enough attacking ball for me, and a little bit dot ball. But he's certainly punching out good base plus power.
Right, down to front row forward now, and not a lot to talk about here either, but probably the most interesting thing here that I want to chat about is Joe Tappané. Ricky has been killing this bloke's minutes. I reckon it possibly just leading to the buys, just trying to ease him through or give him a break this week. But he's only 641K now. I'm an owner. He's got a break even of 99. Chibs, would you be looking to move Joe on, or is it team dependent?
It's team dependent. I sold him last week to Kiraz, and I was happy to, because I made the decision to hold Haas. And so with Keon, Haas, May, Tino, basically as four front row options that you're going to have for that run home, I think Tappané now is out of the picture. So it is team dependent, but I think he's definitely one that you can say see you later to if you need to.
Dan, AFB had a relatively poor game for him. I think really AFB, and he always mops the minutes up, but he really needs an in-game injury to be like, or a try, obviously, to be hitting that 60 plus, which is a bit of a concern for owners.
A slight concern, but if the floor is the 50s and he's going to be that backup front row forward for the end game, more than happy. We know he's got attack in him as well. He's had some little niggling injuries this year, a groin injury, an AC joint injury, and he's put away the offload against Warriors on the weekend. So we know he has an offload in him. We know he can score tries. Very, very happy to hold, particularly because he plays around 15, 16, and 19. So
as a purchase, though?
If you're short in second row, front row, but I don't think anyone is too much. But so, again, I'm not very keen to purchase any forwards this week unless you've got some real big issues. But I'd say most people have got a strong forward pack at the moment.
In that context as well, Tubes, Toby Couchman, he's very cheap, 533K. He's got an 80-minute edge roll at the minute. Doesn't look like that's going to let up. Flano loves him. He's gone 70-63 in two 80-minute games on the edge with no attack. I mean, I understand Dan's point. It's still, that is a ton of value. It's just where does he squeeze in? Is he sort of a 20th man for the run home, something like that?
Maybe. You could still be value hunting at this time of year, but I just think that there's sort of three or four second row forwards that you're really looking to bring in for that run home, and that's Ekat, Keon. You might still look at a Crichton as well, potentially, and obviously Ola. I just don't think that you Hudson Young. I just don't think that he's sort of in that echelon. I'd rather take enough rather than sort of someone at that price in second row forward.
Yep.
I think Couchman's the perfect option for the Origin downgrade. Unfortunately, he doesn't play next week. Like, if Tino or Haas wasn't backing up, you could have made 200K, brought him in. He would have been rock solid, but doesn't play next week. But I still think you could say, if you're thinking that Tino risk of injury and not playing next week is enough, I would maybe make that trade, Tino to Couchman, freeing up that extra 200K, because I think he is going to do a job over these next 6-7 weeks.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. And he plays. That's their last buy too, I'm pretty sure.
Just a shout out to my man Tui Simpkins. Of the year.
He's back. He's playing. He lives.
He's there. He'll bust out a nice 30 for those that needed the number this week.
Oh, unbelievable. That is huge for the true Nuff believers in Tui Simpkins, whatever his name is. I love him. But if he could go back to the wilderness after this week, that'd also be quite good. Don't want him playing every week. All right, guys, hooker now. And unfortunately, we have very sad news here. Sandon Smith, 80% owned Sandon Smith, my God, has been dropped to the bench to make way for the returning Sam Walker. I think this was a little bit touted as a possibility, but I never really believed it. Hugo Savala retains his spot at 5'8". There is whispers that Sandon Smith is going to be moved on, potentially the Cowboys at the end of the season as the odd man out, with Cherry Evans potentially coming in. Dan, the real question is here is probably more around, not so much for this week, but the impact on your hooker position long term. He's got a break even of 39, so I think you're just holding this week and just see how it plays out, make sure there's no injuries and that sort of thing. But how has that news sort of impacted your thinking?
Hurts, doesn't it? It hurts primarily because this hooker position is just horrendous this year. Even with now Max Plath going down, he's another end game you would have looked at. Oh, what do you do? Tommy Starling's going to survive in my team, I think, now for the whole year with this news. Definitely a watch this week. Like, we don't know what the rotation is going to be like there. Savala has played bench on coming through early in the year as well, so that could be an option that they look to go towards. But if the signs are there this week, probably a number for round 16 for you, but then he's probably getting out of your side ASAP.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's my thinking as well. But as I said, just going to have a look. Don't panic this week. It's a bit annoying. It probably means you might want an extra number for this week, potentially, just given he's going to have a low score. So all of a sudden I've got Oren Keely, Sandon Smith, Tui Simpkin and LKT. It's a fair bit of junk there, so I'm going to want probably 15 warm bodies this week. Tubes, Cam McInnes is someone you were keen to have a chat about. He's 590K now, and he is probably one of these endgame hookers that Dan's talking about. He's 22% owned.
Yeah, I think I've landed even just while Dan was talking. Like, this is a next week problem. Like, you're not just selling Sandon. Like, this is good discussion point for next week. But I'm going to have to deep dive over the next week. But McInnes will definitely be one of the options. But otherwise, it's the Harry Grants, the Appies, et cetera, of the world. But basically, you need a hooker, but not this week.
Tubes, I know you got to run. You got a very important dinner to get to. So give us your pot of the week, though, before you leave.
My pot of the week is Sammy Walker. First game back off a... I talked about Cherry as a downgrade option. Sammy Walker's a downgrade option as well to match the likes of Hughes. With Sandon Smith going to the bench, you assume he'll take goal-kicking duties. Roosters with Teddy, Sandon just slotting right back in there. We know he's got those upside. I think he's had 160-odd last year. I think that he could easily go on a run for that Roosters side and take on the likes of Jerome Hughes over the next period. It's for the real adventurous ones out there.
Don't mind it.
What's for dinner, Tubes?
Don't know. Some bistro. I think I'll be getting a steak with a little bit of béarnaise sauce, possibly. See how it goes.
No Mr. Wong's.
No Mr. Wong's for dinner. All right, boys.
Thanks, Tubes.
See you, Tubes.
Dan, who is your pot of the week?
Well, following the boat with Sammy Walker back, I reminiscing on those massive cutout balls on the left-hand side for the Roosters, going to my man.
Floaters.
My man from last year, Daniel Tupu. I think the time is right. The price is right at the moment. And if he can go on a flyer and match some of these premium center wings over round 15, 16, 18, and 19, I'd be very happy to keep him as my seventh center wing for the run home, play him on matchups. And I think Roosters are only going to get stronger towards the back end of the season as well. So Daniel Tupu is maybe... I'm very much bringing him into my side as well, like possibly for that, for this week.
My pot of the week is someone who I am definitely not bringing in, but I don't mind him as that seventh center wing to play on matchups on the way on the run home, and we've seen him do this in the past. Ronaldo Mulitalo, he's back from suspension. Sharks got a good run. He plays the right rounds. I'm not bringing him in, but I think he is a nice option at 585k as a pod. But I think he's a similar vein to Tupu.
Similar to Asako, he's been missed a buy period in the past.
Like, he has.
They just go electric this time of year. So, yeah, definitely a good flair option.
Captain's chat, Dan. Few ways you can zig and zag this week. I'm keen on Hines, and I think Hines is almost a must for the VC. I would prefer that Turbo was playing before him so I could VC Turbo, but I don't know how you don't slap an armband of the blue or gold variety on Turbo against the Titans.
Yeah, such a hard pick this week. Even Garrick in that scenario could be a very good option there. Hines, yes, but he hasn't really shown the form of previous that you can be really confident on him, but he is a great option. Drinkwater, they're not favorites to the Dolphins, but I think he's still a good captain option. I think even with Dearden out, I think, you know, he's just gonna absolutely dominate. He's still got the goal kicking. I'd say that's probably where I'm leaning. One of the Manly boys, could you go say the likes of Fletcher Sharp or Tedesco in that other that Knights Roosters game?
Yep. Definitely Teddy. So just in terms of projections as well this week, it's very tight at the top. So we've got Drinkwater 85, Hines 85 also, and then Teddy 84, along with Herbie 84 as well, which is an interesting one. And then Turbo at 80. So it's very tight according to the ball of projections. So you can zig and zag a few different ways there.
Yeah, going to be, again, like it was in round 15, captains are essential this week. So
got to hit one.
Good luck.
Got to hit one. All right, Danny Boy, that will see us out tonight. Thanks to Tubes for joining us as well. And best of luck to round 15. We'll be back with our Q&A podcast Thursday morning. Danny, I presume you'll be joining me.
I should be, mate. It should be good over here in London.
Very good. And, thanks for joining us, mate.
Yeah, cheers, Matty. Thank you.
All right. Good night. Thank you all for listening. We'll chat to you Thursday.
Your beauty.